Roto Grinders presents your first word in daily fantasy sports. Let's go! The Morning Grind, presented by FantasyDraft.com. Hey! Stevie, TPFL, and company are here to jumpstart your analysis on today's DFS slate. Without further ado, here's your host, Stephen Young.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Morning Grind podcast presented by RotoGrinders.com. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Thursday. It's August 18th, and we have 9 baseball games tonight. It's a really interesting slate. You're going to have to really pay attention to the weather. There's a few concerning spots, and one of those spots is a guy that we're going to talk about on the Hill. So make sure you guys are paying attention to Kevin Roth's weather report, 6 p.m. Eastern. He's going to have it all, and all you have to do is just read it. So that's where you're going to want to be at. This is an interesting slate for tournaments, and cash games are going to be really interesting. So with that being said, I have to bring in a cash game player, and why not Chalk himself and the guy that's been leading the expert rankings all year on Roto Grinders, Dean. How you doing, my friend?
What's going on, Stevie? I'm doing all right. Just tilt a little bit of baseball tonight. Spoiler alert, we record the podcast the night before. But, yeah, I'm doing well otherwise. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm always peachy, my friend. Always peachy. I feel a lot better than I did 2 days ago, so that's always a plus. And I'm ready to sleep for about 10 or 12 hours tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
Long trip to Bristol, man. Roto Grinders heading to Bristol to cover the race for NASCAR. So make sure you guys are paying attention to all the cool stuff that we're going to have going on at Bristol this weekend. Let's talk baseball. Let's talk our sponsor site at FantasyDraft.com. Ton of cash games, a lot of tournaments, a lot of stuff for every type of player. So make sure you guys head on over to FantasyDraft, check them out, use promo code Grinders. That way you get incentives here at Roto Grinders for free for a year. And you get 100% deposit bonus up to $600. We're going to lead it off here with Houston at Baltimore. Kevin Gausman, Joe Musgrove. Any interest in either one of these guys?
Mild. You know, it's always interesting to throw a good arm against a team like Houston, who's very boom-busty. There's a lot of power potential there, of course. And you look at Gausman's number; he's kind of reverse splitsy, especially when it comes to giving up some dongs. He gives up a lot of homers to right-handers, and of course, the right-handers there in Houston. Springer. I guess Altuve. Are we going to call Altuve a power hitter? I don't know. He can certainly bang one out. Gattis, by all means. Correa, sure. I'd imagine he'd give up a homer to one of those guys. It's just kind of limiting the damage. But also, there's access to, I don't know, 8 or 9 strikeouts if things go well as well. So I suppose there's some interest as far as tournaments. On the other side, Musgrove, he's looked good. I mean, he's been legit so far. He's pitched great. And the problem is, Baltimore, you want to throw, if you're going to throw anybody at him, it's left-handers. They're much more vulnerable with lefties. They strike out a lot more. And even a lot of the right-handers are better versus same-handed pitching. So I suppose you can make an argument for Musgrove with some K upside against Baltimore, but this can be a really rocky start for him as well.
Yeah. Honestly, when you're looking at these two pitchers, I don't have any interest in either one of these guys. You know, we're going to talk about DeGrom, Bumgarner, Jose Fernandez. You know, we're going to talk about these big arms. So, you know, just not a spot that I'm just going to target Gausman and Musgrove here. And I agree with everything you're saying. Musgrove, he's pitched really well, you know, in 3 starts now. And you look at it, you know, Toronto, Texas, and Toronto. So, like, nothing that says that he can't go in here to Baltimore and pitch well in this game. It's just not a spot that I'm going to target. Gausman, you talked about his reverse splits already. I don't have to. And he's going to face a lot of right-handed bats here. So, for that reason, I'm kind of out on him as well. Let's talk bats. Who do you like here for Houston?
No one really. I mean, I don't love it. I mean, there's a couple guys I like, I suppose. There's nobody I'm targeting. There's nobody I feel like I have to have. Like the guys I mentioned, you know, Gattis is 3K on FanDuel, and there's some power potential. Again, we keep talking about Gausman and those reverse splits and giving up homers to righties. And, you know, with Gattis, you're kind of looking for a boom-bust play. He's not too expensive, so I'm perfectly fine with him. Correa, for sure. Altuve, I prefer against lefties. So, I mean, he's always an awesome play, but it's just the idea of, hey, this is a salary cap game. Can we squeeze him in there? Probably not. Of course, you know, if you're stacking Houston, by all means, throwing him in there. But I don't feel like there's anybody I have to have. Springer's fine, but probably not targeting him.
I like Correa here. We got a reverse splits pitcher. We have a guy in Correa who small sample sizes, but she's shown a lot more power to righties. He's hit 14 of his 18 home runs against right-handed pitching this season. The average is much higher against righties. Like, I think that he's the guy that I'm going to target here. You know, for the most part, that's going to be where I'm going to get my Houston exposure. I don't mind Springer. I don't mind Altuve. Gattis, I always like playing Gattis in tournaments. He's a boomer bust type catcher with upside, and that's always a guy you want to look at.
El Oso Blanco, the white bear. Yeah, he might come out of hibernation and bang a couple out. And on the other side, you know, I don't really know what to think of Musgrove. He's been good, and he's been good in, like, some spots that weren't exactly that beneficial as far as a pitcher. So, first time around, I'd imagine for all these Baltimore players to see him unless they kind of cross paths in the minors, unlikely, especially with all the veterans here on Baltimore. I mean, you could throw a dart and, you know, take a chance on a guy like Davis. Of course, Chris Davis always says, double dong upside, the Trumbomb, sure. I mean, I guess they're in play, but for me, this game is just full of secondary plays.
Yeah, the sample sizes for Musgrove are so small, but when we have seen him struggle, it has been against lefties, and, you know, it's very small amount of innings, but his xFIP is almost 3 points higher than his ERA. So against lefties, so if you want to target guys, I'm with you. You know, it's Chris Davis, it's Pedro Alvarez. You know, it's the big left-handed bats here for Baltimore is where I would go.
Yeah, and that does us for that. I think that's it for me. I'm out.
Los Angeles at Philadelphia, Jared Eichhoff against Ross Stripling. Well, we're done picking on Philly, right? Like, they're so frustrating and annoying, we're just done picking on them.
I'm fine picking on Philly. I prefer with lefties, but even with righties, sure. They're not very good. What happened recently that makes you think that we can't pick on Philadelphia? They have a big night tonight? I feel like no, Kazmir shut them down.
He didn't really shut them down, though.
What do you mean? I guess I missed that was not one of the games I was really following.
Hold on, let me pull up his line. If I remember correctly,
only one strikeout, five innings. You're right. He kind of, yeah, three walks, eight hits. He kind of he lumbered his way to a five. Oh, he got a W, but yeah, not very impressive. You're right.
Yeah, that worries me a little bit. But even Maeda, you know, he pitched well in that game a couple nights ago. It's just I feel like every time I want to pick on Philadelphia, they disappoint me. And Stripling's not a guy that I typically start, so I just don't think this is a spot that I'm going to start him.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. For me, I mean, I don't care who Stripling's facing. As long as it's the major league team, I'm not considering him. So, you know, it's not even so much that Philly scares me. It's that any team that's holding pieces of wood against against Stripling, I'm probably going to pass.
Fun fact about Stripling, though, 30 innings against lefties this season, zero home runs.
Is that fun, though? It's a fact, but is it fun?
It's a fun fact.
Okay. I feel like it's a liberal interpretation of fun, but fair enough. I'm not going to argue. It's your podcast.
36 innings against righties, only five home runs. So it's not like he's getting blown up. But what are we doing with Eichhoff? Like, this is a guy at the beginning of the season, a lot of interest, and just seems like he went downhill fast.
This is a terrible spot for Eichhoff because he's got pretty dramatic splits. Right-hander facing a pile of lefties as far as, I mean, the Dodgers getting the great ballpark bump there in Philadelphia. You got Utley, you got Agon, you have Seager, you have a Jock Jams. There are so many options here. I have zero interest in Eichhoff.
All right, let's talk bats. We'll start with these Dodgers. You mentioned, you know, just everybody except for Grandal. Well, you know, you can't be hating on my boy.
That was not intentional. We talked about Grandal for a second before the podcast started. I'm perfectly fine with Grandal as well. Even the Leprechaun, to some degree. I don't hate Justin Turner, but he's probably not the guy I'm isolating. And they even have Josh Reddick as well. I mean, there's just way, way too many lefties. The Dodgers can get way too left-handed against Eichhoff. And look, Ross Stripling is not good, right? We've established that, yes? He's a minus 145 favorite for a reason, because I think the Dodgers are going to score a pile of runs.
So every day on the podcast, I give out three guys under 8K that I like on fantasy draft that I'm going to be targeting. And Josh Reddick at 7,200 in the meat of that order, there's going to be plenty of RBI potential, plenty of point potential as far as fantasy goes. He's a guy that I'm going to target here on draft under 8K.
Yeah, that's very fair. And as far as, you know, you hinted at some of the pitchers might want to pay up for, and it makes it kind of tricky as far as the rest of your lineup. Adrian Gonzalez at 3-2 is very, very fair. And this is not me chasing points. He banged a couple out on a Wednesday night. But again, the matchup is just really prime, upgraded ballpark. And Eichhoff is just really, really vulnerable versus left-handed stick. So I think Agon is just a perfectly fine play at first base at 3.2K on FanDuel.
He's hot right now, too. If you believe in hot streaks, I like guys that are hitting the ball well. I don't like cold batters usually. So You know, Gonzalez is a guy that's hot. I played him a lot, you know, on Wednesday night. So I'm going to go back to the well here. And on FanDuel, like, these prices are just crazy. You can make a Dodgers stack with the top pitcher and you're still okay on price.
Yeah, and that's kind of like, if you've noticed, as far as what I can tell, is the prices on FanDuel have gotten really tighter. Not so much – yeah, that's probably the wrong way to phrase it. It's not so much they've gotten so tight. It's at the floor that there's no cheapies, there's no punts anymore that are worth your attention. All the guys that were 2-4 are now 3-2. All the guys that are like 3-4, 3-5 basically stayed the same. So it's just kind of the cheap guys caught up. But like you said, the Dodgers just kind of seem underpriced. Reddick at 3-4 is very fair. Peterson 3-3, well, he's going to be buried in the lineup. Of course, he's more of a tournament guy. Seager at 3-8, it could be a little bit more expensive. I'm perfectly fine with all those guys. And Utley, did he get a bump? No, Utley's still 2-8. With all the revenge. He's very vengeful.
Where are we going with the Philly bats here?
I don't know. I don't like Stripling, and I don't like the Philly bats. I'm not a Ryan Howard truther. I get it. You know, he's kind of been unlucky this year, you know, especially against right-handers. And Stripling is not somebody to be feared. I'm troubled by the fact that Howard doesn't always finish the game. He finds his way, you know, getting pinch hit for or pinch ran for, just coming out in the seventh inning all too often for me. Of course, we know it just takes one swing to bang one out and justify that roster spot. And certainly the opportunity is there today against Stripling, but I don't think I'm going to go there. And again, as a cash game brain, of course, I play plenty of GPPs as well. But Howard at 3K, just in this game alone, Howard at 3K, Adrian Gonzalez at 3-2. Like, it's hard to justify that 3K price. But again, you know, yada, 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 game theory, I suppose he's interesting.
Ryan Howard hitting over 350 since the All-Star break, too. So, you know.
Yeah.
I've been playing Howard. Does it shock you, Dean, that I've been playing Ryan Howard?
No, that's not surprise me at all. And I understand why, because if you actually dissect his numbers, it looks like he's been unlucky. I mean, the BABIP's going to be low just because he just lumbers, he can't move. But he's been unlucky as far as banging him out, too. So I get it. I know why you would play him in a tournament. I'm not saying it's a bad play, but I'm probably not going to.
What about Herrera? We finally see him at a decent price. We like to target him in better spots where he can maybe pick up a steal. Grandal, if he's behind the plate, has a cannon. I'm not really on Herrera here.
Yeah, I feel like he's a guy that sort of like petered off. And he was really good in the first half of the season, but it's kind of caught up with him. He was playing above his head. I mean, there's some pop, a little bit of pop. He's got some wheels as well. But like you said, Grandal, pretty solid catcher. So I don't know. I can't say offhand what Stripling is as far as holding on runners. I would have to dig into that. That's why it's called the first look, Stevie. We can make mistakes like that. I don't know. I'm going to look at it after the podcast. There's more podcasts coming. But, yeah, I'm probably not going to be on Herrera.
Miami at Cincinnati, Dan Straley. Jose, I am better than everybody else, Fernandez. The numbers are just insane for Fernandez this season. Like, here we are in August, and this guy has a 44.7% strikeout rate against right-handed batters. That's almost 50%. That's almost half the batters he faces that are right-handed he strikes out.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome at the baseball. It's just and by the way, worth noting that he missed his last time out, not because he was hurt or injured or anything like that. They just want to limit his innings. So, yeah, that's why if you look at – well, it looks like he missed a start. There's no reason to be concerned. The ballpark shift is negative, obviously, but like you said, the players actually have to hit it for it to actually make a difference. And who are we afraid of on Cincinnati? You could probably say Votto, I suppose. Sure, he's a professional hitter, really good, positive batter. Otherwise, who else scares you on the Phillies? Because not the Phillies, on Cincinnati, because I'm stumped.
Not Brandon Phillips. There's three strikeouts for Fernandez right there.
Yeah, Schebler is my white whale. I keep playing him when he does terrible, and he keeps banging out homers when I don't play him. But I don't think he does anything versus Fernandez. That looks like a couple strikeouts. They keep starting that rookie at second base. He's going to be completely outmatched against Fernandez. I'm trying to think of his name for some reason off the top of my head. It's running away. Renda. I think it's Tony Renda. Yeah, good luck, Tony Renda, if you're batting leadoff versus Jose. That basically starts the game with a strikeout, so I'll enjoy that. And the tricky part, again, is just, you know, trying to figure out how to work them in your lineups. But I think you can make it happen. And you talked about DeGrom and Mad Bum. Those guys face each other. So I think that makes Jose the default cash game play, especially when the win matters.
I disagree with being the default cash game play because, like, the Mets are so bad against left-handed pitching and Neil Walker is banged up now. Like,
yeah,
that lineup is going to be so bad. And, like, even though he's facing DeGrom, DeGrom never gets run support. I'm one of the biggest fans. I watch him play every time. Like, I still think Bumgarner's a cash game play. I disagree with you there because there's rain that we got to worry about in Cincinnati. The weather's a lot nicer in San Francisco. Like, I think Bum's the easy cash play.
Well, I mean, it's certainly a coin toss. It's certainly a conversation. I'm staring at FanDuel right now. Bum is $300 more than Fernandez. Of course, if you need $300, I don't mind stepping down. And like you said, if there's weather issues in Cincinnati, of course, that changes things as well. And I'd imagine there's no weather issues in San Fran because there pretty much never is. The tricky part, of course, is grabbing the W. I mean, you never really know. It's never guaranteed because for Jose to get it, he might have to actually get a couple singles himself because this Marlins lineup, not very good without solitary tier, Giancarlo Stanton, and his groin pretty much out for the season. I mean, you got Yelich, of course, who's solid, but, you know, Ozuna can do some things. D. Gordon, if he gets on base, he's kind of fun. But besides that, that lineup is pretty terrible. Look, it's going to be – if it's a weather call, you have to lean to Mad Bum. But I just think that Jose's got a slightly better chance to grab that W. Straley on the other side, he's okay, right? But I'll be rostering him? Probably not.
Straley's won 4 of his last 5 games.
Well, I mean, wins don't mean anything. He's got the will to win.
I'm just saying, he's won 4 of his last 5 games.
He's actually been pitching all right of late. I'll give you that.
I'm not playing him. If there was a spot to play him, it would probably be against Miami, but I would probably look at Miami if this game was in Miami. No, I'm not going to play him in Cincinnati. Let's talk bats here. We'll start with Miami. You mentioned Yelich and Ozuna. Ozuna's starting to warm up at the plate. You know, jump on him before everybody else starts realizing that he's hitting again. And he's cheap just about everywhere except for FanDuel.
Yeah, I know he was like 3. He was really cheap on draft. He was really cheap on DK last night. I'm not sure what he is actually going in, but as far as on FanDuel, he's 3.5. It's not terrible. It's not impressive, but I mean, you can certainly play it, but it's not something that jumps off the page. And Yelich is 3.5 as well. But like, I don't know how many Marlins Dietrich, is he still at first base? Yeah, I mean, he's at first base. He's 2,400 on FanDuel. I think he's second base on DK and on draft. Obviously, you can play him pretty much anywhere. I'm okay with that if he's still super cheap over there. The thing about Dietrich is he gets the hook whenever left-handers are out there, and there's only one left-hander in the bullpen for Cincinnati, so he should start. He should play the entire game through, assuming that Jose Fernandez grabs that W and Cingrani does not come out of the pen.
We're not taking any Reds bats here against Fernandez, right?
Nope.
All right, let's move on. White Sox at Cleveland, Danny Salazar, Carlos Rendon. What are your thoughts here on Salazar?
This is. I'm just looking at them both. They're just two sort of like GPP pitchers. Salazar coming off the DL, somewhat concerning. Cleveland, you know, might playing for the stretch run, might make the playoffs and all that. So maybe they'll cut him an inning short or so, something like that. Dealing with an elbow. Apparently, he had a good bullpen session, so everything checked out. But again, it doesn't make sense to play. I know the White Sox stink. I get that, and I think he's well positioned for the W as well because. That offense has been really, really clicking. Cleveland's just on fire. Just speaking of Rendon, I mean, he's always an interesting tournament guy just because of his K upside. He gets a little wild, a little bit volatile, but no, I just can't do it as far as tonight. And I think Salazar probably grabs the win, but he probably doesn't go beyond 6. He's another guy. K's, walk issues, volatility. There is some upside. I mean, if you're looking for tournaments, you're the tournament guy because you know, I'm not. You know, that's not my label. I'm curious what your thoughts are because – you know, we're staring at Jose and we're staring at Mad Bum and even DeGrom and guys like that, and it just makes a lot more sense to go there if we're going to spend up. What are your thoughts on Salazar?
So, you know, he threw a side session and said there was no discomfort whatsoever. This team, you know, they're still in it. So, like, if he's hurting at all, there's no way they're going to risk him going out there with any type of discomfort in his elbow. I'm okay with Salazar in tournaments. You know, we know the White Sox can strike out with the best of them, but as we've seen with Carrasco, like, they can put up runs too. So, like, this isn't a slam dunk, but he's definitely in play in tournaments, and I disagree. I like the Cleveland bats here. Again, this team is much better against lefties than what people give them.
No, I wasn't endorsing Rendon. Is that what I said? Is that what it sounded like?
You said that they were
I like
both,
Cleveland's bats.
Yeah, you said they were both tournament plays,
and I don't think he's in play here today.
Well, as like a general statement, I think Rendon is a tournament guy. Just that's kind of his nature. But as for tonight against Cleveland, no thank you.
Okay, just making sure, Dean. Just making sure. Okay. I just want to make sure you're not off your wits here.
There's going to be a party at Napoli's. You can't throw a roster Rendon when there's a party at Napoli's, right?
there's always a party in Napoli. Let's talk Cleveland first here. You mentioned Napoli. A guy that I've been talking about for a few weeks now that continues to go underowned is Jose Ramirez, is just mashing the baseball right now, and he hits left-handed pitching really well.
He's been great, and I'd be lying if I was saying that I've not been on the train and I just kind of missed it. But it's not so much that he's hitting the ball so well. He's actually swiped like 20 bags now this year. He's got some wheels too, which is always nice. And his price is very fair, 3-1 on FanDuel. I have no issues with that. And I think I've had to play him. I played him like once in the last 2 weeks or something like that. I just rarely play him. Even when I stack Cleveland, he doesn't make the stack. Unless, of course, like, you know, when you have to choose between Napoli and Santana, maybe he's the fourth guy because you can only pick one of those two. I've not enjoyed the shares of Ramirez of late, but I'm on board now. Maybe it's too late. Maybe I'm chasing, but I think he's still perfectly fine.
Yeah, Ramirez home road splits, if you believe in that kind of thing. Like, he's nuts at home. Like, it's crazy the numbers this guy puts up at home. So I like him even more, you know, with this game being at home. Napoli obviously in play, but the guy that I like is Brandon Guyer. A lot of people aren't jumping on Guyer yet, and on FanDuel, this is more of a FanDuel play. He's 2,500. He's been hitting fifth or sixth against left-handed pitching, and like, they've been playing him every day now. Like, he's getting every day at bats here with Cleveland.
Yeah, I was not expecting Guyer. I was expecting you to say Rajay Davis, because I believe in Rajay versus lefties, because he usually starts the game leading off. And talked about Rodon, he has some issues as far as getting wild sometimes. That you want Rajay to walk, you want him to swipe a bag or two. He's a lot of fun. As far as Guyer, yeah, I think he's an interesting tournament guy. Maybe a punt if you're looking for 2-5. That's very fair on FanDuel. Again, if Chisenhall doesn't start, it's very possible once a right-hander comes in, Guyer can turn the Chisenhall around the seventh inning or so, something like that. Might lose in a bat or so. That's just one of my concerns, but I get it. I'm perfectly fine with Guyer for tournaments.
Guyer has a 466 wOBA, and he's hitting 354 against left-handed pitching this season.
Yeah, they traded for him for a reason. Yeah, no, it is. I agree.
Outside of a stack here for the White Sox, just hoping that Salazar's not right in his first start back, we're not going to try to pinpoint one-off plays, are we?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you have the old BVP play with Jose Abreu.
You know, I'm all about the BVP life, 6 for 16, 3 home runs, solid numbers. But like I said, even in this spot, I'm not going to play Jose Abreu as a one-off.
You know who hasn't been terrible, by the way? It's silently been pretty competent so far this year in like a small role. Justin Morneau. Not been terrible at all. Throwing it out there.
The only place you could ever play Morneau is fantasy draft, because you get multiple first basemans.
Yeah, I mean, there's an opportunity cost of locking up your first base spot, and that's kind of the tricky spot. It's like, you know, if it's shortstop, if it's second base, how many guys are actually going to go nuts? How many guys are going to miss out on? If you whiff at first, there's probably 5 or 6 first basemen, 2 or 3, maybe 4 of which that are chalky, that have big nights, they bang them out. And if your guy doesn't, you're playing catch up.
All right, let's move on. Twins and Royals. Actually, no, Washington at Atlanta is the next game. I wanted to skip this game. Why did I want to skip this game? All right, so we have Lopez against Waylon. You know, Washington coming back to Atlanta after playing in Coors Field for the last few days. We don't like these pitchers, right? We don't like Lopez or Waylon here.
You know, what is he on draft? I bet he's super cheap on draft. Lopez has some K upside. I understand. I've heard Cardi say before, just stop playing righties against the Braves. I understand that the K upside is not really there. They're still not particularly good hitters. But I'm just kind of thinking in the frame of like an SP2, if he's like 5K on DK, 10K on draft, I don't think he's a crazy play.
Yeah, he has the strikeout upside, but I kind of agree with Derek here. Like, Atlanta's just, I don't play right-handed pitching against Atlanta. I don't really play left-handed pitching. I really haven't been picking on the Braves, to be honest with you.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question then. How are you spending up on bats on draft? How are you spending up on bats as far as DK? Because we like the big arms, obviously. Bumgarner, we like Jose. But how do I get the bats that I really want? Because if it's not Lopez, who's the guy we're stepping down to as far as our SP2?
There's a guy that we're going to talk about, don't you worry, in the same price range as these other guys that I actually have interest in for the first time this season.
Oh, boy. Now I'm curious. I'm intrigued for the first time this season. So, I'm looking at the upcoming list. I'm like, it's not Dylan G.
Oh, God, no. No, 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 no. It's definitely not G. We'll talk about that game here in a minute. All right, let's start with Washington. They're going to Atlanta here. My favorite play from the Nationals is Trey Turner. We know how easy it is to steal against the Braves, and Tyler Flowers is back in our lives, and he can't throw out me. So Trey Turner against Waylon, who doesn't hold runners on very well, like, give me all the Trey Turner here.
Yeah, I think that's a great call. We saw his price dip a little bit. Now he's 3.7 at FanDuel. Of course, he had that inflation from Coors where he was like 4 and change. Bryce bomb happened on Sunday. I don't know. I guess the neck and the shoulders feel a little better these days. 4K is kind of hard to make happen, but for sure he's definitely in play, if nothing else, in tournaments. Is Flowers going to grab that start right away? I think it's Przinski's worse, I would imagine, but neither one of them is very good as far as
throwing. He went to the DL.
Oh, I missed that somehow. Sorry about that, AJ. Otherwise, I'm Washington. They actually have a big team total, at least what I'm saying as far as the implied team total. It's a 9 over under in Atlanta. You don't see that very often. Pretty big number. And Washington, as of right now, is a minus 145 favorite. So they're expecting 5-plus runs from Washington. I agree. Turner is definitely the table setter. And, I mean, you got to like Harper. It's just how do I fit him in, basically, is the question.
I think I like Murphy, too. Daniel Murphy, he's just been insane this season. So I like all three of those guys. And if we get any value, like this is a team that's traveling, see what the lineup looks like. And we might get a value player or two in this lineup that is in a good spot here.
If you can get Revere coming close to the top of the lineup somehow, I mean, it happens on occasion. He was sort of buried in Coors, but 2.7, Revere, obviously not a lot of power, but he's got wheels. And he could definitely, if he gets on, he's probably going to go, because you talked about the battery not being very good at throwing out runners.
Looking at the Braves here, you mentioned Lopez. He does have that upside, but I think we can continue to look at Freddie Freeman. With Kemp hitting behind Freeman, I'd like to – I don't have it in front of me, but I'd like to see what Freeman's numbers are now that Kemp is behind him and ever since that trade, because he's just been incredible.
Yeah, just looking at the game log, he's got five home runs his last 7 games or so. He's definitely been on fire. He came stumbling out of the gate at the start of the season, but his splits of late have been pretty awesome. I think Lopez is perfectly fine. I don't want to say perfectly fine. I think he's interesting as an SP2. I understand that he's probably not going to strike out 7, but a lot of those lineup bats are just not very good. They can pop up a lot as well instead of striking out. But the one guy that I'm afraid of, I do agree, Freeman's an excellent play. You can play him as a one-off. I cannot see myself stacking Atlanta. I just cannot stomach the idea of that. Like, who's your second favorite Atlanta bat? If it's not Freeman or after Freeman, who is it?
It's Kemp. Those are the two guys that those are the only two guys I'm targeting from Atlanta for the rest of the season, probably.
I basically only play Kemp versus lefties. I can't play him versus righties. I don't want to say can't. I don't like to speak in definitives, but it's highly unlikely he cracks my lineup tomorrow.
I don't love him here.
I know it's a chalky response. I know.
You asked me who would I play outside of Freeman. It would be Kemp, and I'm with you. I'm not playing him here.
Does Swanson have a price yet on FanDuel or anywhere on the industry or in draft or anything? Is he like a minimum salary player?
Did they finally add him yet?
Oh, there he is. He's on FanDuel. He's 2.5. He hit 8th. Obviously, 8th at home is like the least appealing spot in the world because you got the pitcher right behind you. He's got some talent, obviously, young kid. They probably face each other somewhere in the minors, these guys, for all we know. Two young players, but I guess shortstop is always a spot you're looking to punt. If you can't find a punt, maybe Swanson can be okay.
Yeah, I don't hate him.
That's it for this game, though, right?
Yeah. All right, Minnesota at Kansas City, Tyler Duffy, Dylan G. Dylan G has a problem, and that problem is home runs.
Too many. Okay, now how do you take advantage of that problem is my question.
Oh, Brian Dozier and Max Kepler?
I don't believe in Max Kepler's power resurgence, whatever you want to call it. I think he's going to be a fine player, but all the home runs he hit was just a complete outlier, in accordance to what he did in the minor leagues. I just don't think it's good. I mean, it's not going to sustain, but I think it's going to dip pretty drastically. I think he'll be a good hitter. He's still figuring out, still developing, obviously. He's plenty young. But you're right. G just gets absolutely smashed with homers. Sano is dinged up, like in and out of the lineup. You got Kenny Vargas, who, is kind of a boom buster, obviously. When he gets a hold of it, though, it doesn't really matter what park he's in. Again, he's a first baseman, though. So 3-3 kind of takes the locks of that spot. I don't know how to take advantage of it. Like you said, like Dozier, we prefer against lefties, but sure, if you just pull it down the line, I suppose that's in play as well. And he's been hot as well as far as banging him out too. Price is somewhat inflated in the ballpark, stinks. So I don't know how to handle this. Like there's certainly no chance I roster G. Like that's not going to happen. But I don't know how to pick on him. If I will, maybe one off or two. That's it.
Yeah, probably the one off plays here, like Dozier, Kepler, Vargas, because Maurer's banged up right now, so Vargas could draw the start. Like he has pop, and like they're on the road, so the top four guys, you know, that have those potential to get those four or five at bats, you know, that's kind of where I'm going to go probably.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't fully stack. I suppose you can.
I'm not stacking them. No.
I wasn't saying you specifically. I was just like the generic you, whoever's listening. I'm not going to talk you out of it, but it's probably not something I would do. And as far as Kansas City, like Duffy has been like kind of like the old Jekyll and Hyde, right? He's had some really, really good games. He's had some really, really bad games. He's in a pitcher's ballpark. He's facing a terrible lineup. I don't think I'm rostering him.
What are we doing with the Kansas City bats here against Duffy?
I don't know. It's the same question. I feel like this whole game would just go away, and like I wouldn't even miss it.
I play Eric Hosmer on Fantasy Draft every day.
Why? He doesn't. You're a tournament guy. He doesn't have the upside.
Well, I've been playing these Survivors, and I've been playing cash games over there, and every day.
Yeah, and you can roster four or five first basemen if you want to as well. And yeah, I'm doing. And certainly for Survivors, he's not a guy that's going to put up a zero for the most part. He'll grab a walk, get over, hit a run, bang a double, things like that. So he's not going to give you a zero. But as far as tournaments, though, he's just not the best tournament play, right?
No, he's not a guy that I would ever recommend for tournaments. But at this price, he's a guy that I continue to target over there on draft because, like, you're wanting points in these Survivor tournaments, and he's just a guy that night in, night out is going to produce for you.
You said there was a pitcher that you're interested in that you haven't rostered all season. It wasn't Duffy, was it?
Nope.
Okay. I'm limiting guys in my head.
No. Seattle at LA, taking on the Angels. Iakuma against Schumacher. Like, what's going on with Schumacher? Like, here we go. Here it is. We start getting pumped up about the way he's pitching, and then all of a sudden, his last four or five starts have just been ugly.
Yeah, it's sad. You know, have you heard of season-long leagues? You know, you're aware of the existence of those?
Yeah, I tend to dabble in those every once in a while.
Yeah, I have one of those, and it was I dropped them in my league. I'm like, you know what? It was a good run. You made some nice shoes, but you know what? You got to go. And the K's have been down. If you look at 3-3-4-1 the last four games, I mean, you add it all up, he's had games with more K's than that one game the entire season. He was on a hell of a run before throwing a splitter. I'm not sure what's going on. I have to dig in. I'm curious what the velocity is up to, if that's something going on there, kind of a dip in velocity. But there were some tough matchups there too, I suppose. But at this moment, I cannot really see myself rostering him. Seattle, pretty strong offense versus right-handers out of the ballpark stinks, but they're kind of used to that anyway. And on the other side is Iwakuma, and this is the guy. Iwakuma's a guy I pretty much never pick on, and I pretty much never roster. So, and who can you even roster on the Angels anyway? I mean, there's Trout, and Trout is on that team.
There's a guy named Trout.
There is a Trout, yes. I mean, that's about Tim Salmon. No, he's not available. He retired, but that's it. I think I'm good. I don't – unless you're an Andrelton Simmons truther, I'm not. Or you're a Bandy truther, aren't you?
Nope.
Oh.
No, I'm not.
I thought I lost you for a second. Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that really, really like Jeff Bandy.
Why?
I don't know. It's a fun name to say. That's probably the reason.
I like him against lefties. Like, we can play him against lefties. Cheap pitchers, you know, platoon splits. Why not, you know? We can play him against lefties. But, all right, so am I crazy? This isn't the guy, but am I crazy for thinking Iakuma's in play here?
I mean, it's the same deal with the Angels, though. They're kind of like the Atlanta Braves of the AL. Not a very good offense, but they don't strike out a lot either. So the upside somewhat subdued. Iwakuma's a guy that generally doesn't go deep either. You know, he's a little bit long in the tooth. Rarely, I mean, he'll get you seven innings. He's not going to go eight or nine. Sometimes he gets you six if he's not that efficient. But he's probably not going to get beat up because he pretty much never gets beat up. And again, it's the Angels. Who's going to beat him up outside of Trout?
Yeah, and just the Angels are cold. They're 29th in Team WRC Plus in the month of August. So, like, it's a cold offense. So, I don't know, man. I might think that, you know, if we're talking SP2s, his price, 18,000 on draft, 9,000 on DraftKings, and on FanDuel, like, I think he's in a good spot for a win, and at 8,600, like, I think he's actually in play here.
Yeah, 18,000, 9,000. I mean, it's not a price that's great, but it's not like a price where you can't roster him either. My problem is, who am I rostering him with? Because if I'm rostering with, like, you know, with Jose or Mad Bum, I think my bat's going to be somewhat, you know, severely subdued, unless there's some really good cheapies I'm missing out on.
Yeah, the cheapies, always pay attention to the lineups. You know, we can't guess on the cheapies, except for Benedetti from Boston, who spends salary almost every day.
Was that Benintendo?
I don't even know how to say his name. I say it really fast just to sound really smart.
Benintendi.
All right, let's talk bats here. Angels is easy, right? It's Trout, and if you want a one-off, maybe Pujols, but you're only playing him on sites that have, you know, multi-position eligibility.
Yeah, Pujols on Wednesday was really, really cheap on draft and on DK. Is he still that cheap or no?
He is. He's the second fantasy draft play. I'm going to fall into the trap again, but how can we not play Pujols at 5,600?
Wow, that's – yeah. So if he's – yeah, with 5,600 on drafts, that he's probably like 2,800, 2,900 on DK.
Yeah, it's just too cheap for a guy that has home run power and upside.
I'm curious now what he is on DK because I imagine it's somewhere around there. He's 2,900 on DK. Wow. And again, Iwakuma is a guy I don't really want to pick on, and I'm not necessarily going to seek this matchup out. But sure, if everything else works around it, like you said, it's like load up on all the first basemen on draft. I'm pulling up the BBP, Stevie. This is gonna red flag you. You ready?
6 for 45, one home run.
Yeah, one home run.
You know I look at BBP.
Okay, no, because I know that they're in the same division, so I figured they had a pile of they've met each other a bunch of times. 9 strikeouts, no walks is interesting. 0 walks and 45 at bats. Yeah, that's
that is definitely interesting.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's not going to chase me away because, again, it's the price that puts me on it, and I'm not necessarily seeking it out. But if you like everything else around it, you're getting, you know, somebody with Pujols, obviously not what he used to be, but he still has pretty strong power at basically a punt price. So, sure, it's not a bad option.
God, the BVP is even worse looking at the last couple of years. 4 for 26.
I love it. Now you're in a quandary. Do you want to retract him now? Do you want to retract him from your 3 or no? You're still committed to him.
I'm committed to the price. Like, you get Albert Pujols for 5,600, even if it's one at bat against the bullpen.
Yeah, the price is pretty appealing.
Like, what? Honestly, at that price, if he gets you 6 points, you're okay, right?
Yeah, I mean, this conversation, it'll stem off into a long conversation. But when people say, like, I've heard people say, well, if this guy's too, you know, 3x, if you can get 3x out of him, you get a double, he right there he's made value. And then they think sort of like in that basketball term, and there's no such thing as value in baseball. It's like, let's get the best collection of bats in the best possible spot and hope things go well for you. But what people always forget is it's occupying a roster spot. Like they said, that so-and-so is free, you got to play him. Well, no, he's not free because, okay, yeah, he's super cheap, but he's also stealing a roster spot which you can use to gain something really good. It's a whole side. You shouldn't ask this question, maybe, because I can have a whole podcast on it.
All right. So the people that are priced around Pujols here today, Hunter Pence against Jake DeGrom, Jay Bruce against Bumgarner, Zach Cozart. I'm trying to look at people that we know who are going to start, and Anthony Recker.
No.
Carlos Gomez, who got released like 3 weeks ago, a month ago. Just looking at price, man, like, you know, if you're wanting to fit in Bumgarner and you want to punt a spot, why are we not punting with Pujols? That's where I'm at. Nothing's going to really change my mind at this point. Looking at Seattle here against Schumacher, like, I think they're a really sneaky stack on this slate.
Yeah, I don't think people are going to have Cano. But I think he's perfectly fine. The maker of shoes is regressing right now. And again, I want to dig in. I want to pull up the fan graphs and see kind of where the velocity is at right now. There should be probably some explanation as far as why he's been sputtering of late, why he's not been getting the fastball, you know, getting the strikeouts as swinging strike rate is probably down. I can't say that as a fact. I don't know, but I want to confirm it.
It's down.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, I mean, and Seager as well, sure. The boomstick, nobody rosters Cruz, you know, against a pretty – well, what do we think of the maker of shoes? Because he was terrible. We were picking on him. Then at some point, you know, he started working that splitter grind pretty much all the time, and he was great. Now he's not good anymore. I feel like you can get a lot of these Seattle guys as far as ownership for tournaments at a super low ownership.
Yeah, I'm stacking them. That's what I said. Like, looking at Schumacher's velocity charts, like, nothing really stands out to me. His last game, his velocity was way down. But after, besides that, like, it's all been right around the same as all year.
Yeah.
So, like, I just think that the way he's pitching right now, that he's pitching so well, people have caught on. That's kind of where I'm at with him. And, you know, looking at Seattle, they have really good numbers against him recently. So, you know, I'm willing to fire up some of these bats here. And I'm not going to one-off these guys. I'm going to stack Seattle if I play them here.
Fair enough.
Arizona at San Diego, Archie Bradley, Paul Clemens. Here's my guy, Archie Bradley, against San Diego at Petco, one of the worst offenses in baseball. Yes, they have gotten better. You know, when we look at, you know, they've added Dickerson, who's hitting the ball well, Schimpf, who's hitting the ball well. But, like, outside of the top four, this lineup is so bad.
Yeah, it's not very good. Bradley, this might have something to do with the fact that he pitches in Arizona, but he's given up over 2 homers per nine versus left-handers. So the first thing that jumped out to me is I thought Schimpf was a really good play. And even Dickerson, like you said. Jankowski doesn't really have power, obviously, but he's not a left-hander that might give him some issues. Solarte is a switch hitter, but, you know, he doesn't really intimidate. I mean, he's not somebody I'm running away from. The strikeouts are still there for, you know, for Bradley versus San Diego. They do strike out a fair amount. And, you know, it's kind of a tricky thing because they got worse versus left-handers and better versus righties, San Diego. So they're still not good versus righties, but it's just, you know, since the trade of Cam, since these guys getting called up, Schimpf, Dickerson getting some run. Give me, like, on a scale of 1 to 10 your confidence level of Bradley, because I know elite prospect, up and down, volatile, not a guy that's going to go more than 6 innings, giving up too many home runs. Of course, he's in San Diego, so it's not as good of a pitcher's park as some people think, but still a pitcher's park. I need some persuading. I'm willing to listen, though.
Yeah, I'm not that confident. I'm not going to lie to you. Like,
okay.
You wanted me to be confident. I'm not saying this guy's a 10. I'm saying that we need a cheap pitcher on this slate, right? We need somebody that, you know, it all depends on what you want to do. Like, you know, if you can make Bumgarner and Iakuma work and get bats that are in okay spots, like, you might even target some of this San Diego bats. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Like, I still like Dickerson. I still like Schimpf. I still think they're good plays here on the slate. It's just, I think that we could see 7 strikeouts, 2 or 3 earned runs, 6 innings, and a win here.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't shock me. It's basically a coin toss right now, according to Vegas. And I see the totals at 8.5. Paul Clemens on the other side. Paul Clemens is not very good either. Certainly doesn't have the other pedigree that Bradley does. Arizona, by the way, is just piling it on against the Mets right now. Ricky Weeks. If you guys play Ricky Weeks on Wednesday night, congratulations. I did not.
Tomas.
I had Tomas. I had Tomas, but no Weeks. And a lot of Goldie. They just keep walking Goldie because he's really good at baseball.
I had Tomas as, I think, number 2 on my rankings today.
I was in there, but not at number 2. I can't say that. But I think he made the board. He was on the Family Feud board, but only like 3 people out of 100 said it. So he was like 8.
All right, let's talk. We're not playing Paul Clemens, right? Like,
no.
The offense in Arizona is actually warming up a little bit, and we're going to like some of these bats here against Clemens.
Oh, boy. All right. I mean, Goldie, you know, nobody's going to play Goldie. I mean, even though it's against Clemens, who's not very good, and because he's not facing a lefty and he's not at home, so people are going to run away from Goldie. I think there's other options that kind of make more sense. We talked about where you can save money with a guy like Freeman or a guy like Gonzalez, but that makes Goldie a great tournament play. It's a weird spot because I mean, there's no – I don't feel good about playing Weeks. And, like, we talked about it before the show. You said how Weeks has been hitting lefties really well this year. Not so much, you know, as far as Clemens, right-hander. I don't really know where else to go. Like, I know Clemens is not good. By no means am I going to roster him. But I don't really know how to attack him necessarily. Tomas?
Yeah, Tomas, man. Like, 8 home runs and 17 innings for Clemens against righties this season. Everything he's been hit as far as – right-handed bats go has been hard. 42% hard contact rate in 17 innings. So, like, almost half this guy's pitches have been hard contact, and over 80% has been medium to hard contact. So, like, you know, guys like Tomas, who has that power upside, you mentioned Goldschmidt. Gene Segura doesn't have a lot of home run upside, but he still has that stolen base type, you know, upside. And Jake Lamb, like, even Jake Lamb as the lefty, like,
yeah,
you get Lamb and Tomas on FanDuel really, really cheap.
Tomas is 3-2. That seems too cheap. And Lamb is 3-2. That seems too cheap. And just happened right now, Tomas just banged out a second homer, so that he's going to be highly owned if he wasn't already.
He hit a second one?
Unless Yahoo Stat Tracker is lying to me, yes, that just happened.
I might have a chance in the slam.
Oh, do it.
We'll have to see where it updates. I'm at 240 before it updates.
Well, that's pretty awesome. We're rooting for you.
Pulhos is up with bases loaded right now, too, and he's on this team. So if he bangs out a grand slam on the podcast. All right, so we
spoiler talked... alert, Pulhos lined out.
All right, well, it happens. Oh, that could have been the value that I needed there from Pulhos. All right, so we mentioned San Diego. We talked about him briefly. Schimpf, Dickerson on Fantasy Draft. One of my favorite plays on Fantasy Draft today is Dickerson because he's 6,600. He's been hitting mid to the top of the order. Like, 6,600 for Dickerson, even though I like Bradley a little bit here. Like, I think Dickerson's a really solid play.
Yeah, that's a fine play. It's a fine price. Schimpf is a 3K on FanDuel. I'm pulling up how much he is on DK right now. And basically, is it kind of fair to say you kind of cut it a half? You know, DK is half the price a draft for the most part.
Yeah.
It's like a close general rule. Schimpf is 3.9.
It's pretty close.
He's 3.9 on DK, which is, you know, it's still playable, but I like, you know, we got spoiled. I liked him when he was 2K. He was so much better when he was 2K. Now it's like 3.9. That's outrageous. I can't pay that. Hurricane prices.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about where I'm going to go with lineup construction. And if you go Dodgers, you go with some of these San Diego bats and maybe some of these Arizona bats, you can fit in Bumgarner pretty easy on FanDuel.
Well, that's the question that I keep asking. Is like, and as far as like a site like Draft, a site like DK, just it's like, okay, who's your second pitcher? Because that obviously dictates. It's not that one decision. It's a, you know, it's the old choose your own adventure. Deciding who your SP2 is basically deciding who your next five bats are also. Dude. And it's kind of a tough call. And a lot of it has to do with lineups and just see what kind of cheapies pop out there. And it's always sweet when you get that, you know, that a 4K guy on Draft, the 2K guy on DK, or even the 2K guy on FanDuel. It definitely makes things work for you. It's not, again, like we talked about with Pujols. You don't necessarily love Pujols, but at that price, you lock him in, and you get everybody else around him that you like, and you're good to go.
So just playing around with it real quick, Bumgarner, Neokuma with Pujols gives you 7,100 per player on Fantasy Draft. Like, one value guy in the middle in a good spot up towards the top of the lineup in the $5,000 range, and then you're looking at, like, 7,500 per player.
There you go. You're on your way. I think that's a – you can make that happen.
And even if, you know, I like Bumgarner more than Fernandez. I already kind of touched on that. But you get about a $3,000 saving. So if you do that with Pulhos, you get up to 7,600.
One of my favorite things to do, again, I have to look at the prices. You got to see what kind of cheapies come out. But I just love the idea. Double barrel, double down on two elite studs. Like, put Jose and Mad Bum in there. And then, of course, you're going to have like 3K to spend per stick on DK, maybe 6K on Draft, something like that. But, you know, if you get the punts, if you get the guys in the right spots, you can make things happen. And you build yourself. I know I hate saying floor because everybody's floor is zero. Or I guess negative when it comes to pitchers if they get smashed. But the floor of Jose and Mad Bum, in theory, is just awesome.
I'm not going to disagree with that for sure.
I mean, you're missing out on some big boy bats, though. You need the cheapies to come through, obviously.
Yeah, but as long as your pitchers do good and you're in this day four of the survivor, you know.
Yeah.
All right, let's last game of the night, New York Mets, San Francisco Giants, Madison Bumgarner, Jake DeGrom. I'm so glad this game's at 10:15. I'm going to be driving to Bristol around midnight, so I'm going to be listening to this game. It's going to be fun to listen to.
Wow, I don't listen to a lot of games on the radio. I like watching the – I have the, you know, the TV, Vin Scully. He's the GOAT. I can't believe he's retired. Well, I guess I can't believe it. The guy's like 90, and he's amazing.
How – real quick, Dean, I don't know if you're ever going to have kids or anything. I know you're not like – you know, I know you don't hate kids or anything. I'm not saying that. But like,
hot take.
How do we like, how do I go to my daughter when she's 15, 16 years old playing softball and be like, man, Vin Scully? And, like, how do I describe Vin Scully to her? Like, you know, not to get off topic too much, but.
I think you fire up the YouTuber. It's got to be something. There's got to be, like, you know, they have I've seen the Hawk Harrelson one, the dude for the White Sox, just like, getting angry, like a 10-minute clip of, like,
you know. Idiot.
He's the best. He's someone who's fun, man. People really hate him, don't they? They're kind of like knocking him out too. He's like only playing like he's only doing road games this year. But yeah, I'm sure even now on YouTube, and I'm sure there'll be some kind of DVD collection for him, like his greatest whatever. You know, he's not going anywhere. Like he's going somewhere, but you're gonna still be able to find his stuff, his gems. He's amazing.
All right, Bumgarner, DeGrom. We don't want bats in this game.
No.
I think it's the easiest to say. It's the lowest total on the night, and like an argument can maybe be made for DeGrom here on DraftKings and Fantasy Draft because you're wanting strikeouts, but Bumgarner, I think, is in play everywhere.
Yeah, I just wanted to see, like, what kind of discount we're getting. I'm always curious. You know, DK factors in the pitcher. Posey's 3-3, you know, one of the most talented catchers on the night, pretty fair price on DraftKings. Again, not something I'm necessarily targeting, but, you know, generally speaking, catchers kind of slim, especially it's a smaller slate, only 9 games. Trying to see if there's anybody that's, like, really, you know, Belt is 3-4 against DeGrom. I don't know if that's a crazy one-off or not. I mean, look, nobody in cash. No sticks in cash. I think that goes without saying. Right. It's a 6.5 over-under. San Fran as of right now, -150. The problem, of course, against San Fran when you're rostering DeGrom is that the K upside's not necessarily there. They just they battle and they ground out and they pop out. They just don't strike out a ton. And we talked about it before. That Mets lineup these days is just horrendous. But the most imposing bat, you know, versus a lefty is what, Wilmer Flores?
Yeah, I love Wilmer Flores against lefties. I talk about Flores all the time. So, like, I don't even play him as a one-off here. Like, Bumgarner's that good. No.
Yeah, I won't either. I can't see myself doing it. I can't imagine playing any bats in this game. But, again, a guy like a Posey, I suppose, is in play because, you know, he's just talented and he's cheap. You're getting a discount. I think he's 3K on FanDuel. You're getting the built-in discount, so – but like, there's no reason to seek anybody out. It's just a price play, and sure, why not? A one-off there, but it's all about the arms, and I agree with you. Mad Bum is takes the lead. I don't hate DeGrom in tournaments, but I'm not sure if I'm going to go there or not.
90% of the time on this slate, I'm paying the extra $200 for Grindahl over Posey on FanDuel.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm just kind of thinking, like, I turned my tournament brain on, and, well, Grindahl's going to be more popular, right? You're talking ownership?
Yeah, but then I would say Salvador Perez is better and Ramos is better. Like I'm not playing Posey.
All right, fair enough. I'm not gonna argue.
If I play him to be on DraftKings, you know, you said that price. I have to have a catcher on DraftKings. If I play him, that's where I would play him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because on FanDuel, like if we're looking at the prices around him, like no catcher is more than 3,300 here on this slate. So like, you can get in a top catcher here, and you're not paying much more than what you would get for Posey against DeGrom. And, like, we know how good DeGrom is against right-handed bats.
Yeah, he's just he locks him down pretty good.
That's going to wrap it up here for the breakdown of the slate. Time to play some Home Run Derby. I was on the right bats on yesterday's podcast. I said Arizona stack is one of my favorite stacks, and I hope people listened and they're cashing in the money like I am tonight. But
where are you at right now as far as the slam? Did you pull it up?
Yeah, 54th.
All right, that's solid. That's respectable.
I need a Pulhos homer.
Go Albert.
Yeah, 3% home run from Pulhos would probably jump me into the top 5.
Let's do it.
All right, I'll let you lead off here. No Coors Field, so we don't have to worry about not taking any guys from Coors. Who do you have for your first home run?
Let's take one of these Dodgers. Seager. Let's go with Corey Seager.
All right, going Seager. I'm going Grindahl.
All right.
12 home runs in his last 100 at-bats, just saying.
Yeah, oh, no, he's been legit. I'll take a chalk one. Let's take a chalk play. Give me Bryce Baum.
Harper. I went really chalky yesterday. I can't go chalky again today. I'm going to go Tomas.
I like that call. That's a solid call. Man, I think you just checkmated me. All right, I got one more move. I'm going to go a little bit off the board. I'm going to get the tap into the old GPP brain, and I'm going to take Schimpf. Schimpf for the block.
All right. Oh, where am I going to go with this last one? I have to take one of these Minnesota bats. I'm going to go because you picked on him. I'm going to go Max Kepler.
I wasn't picking on him. I just said
you picked on him.
He's playing above his head. Do not expect this to be the norm going forward.
100% picked on him.
And he's already come back down to life.
I'm just saying you picked on him. So instant, I'm hoping that I get the Siege narrative street with you. Every time he picks on somebody on the podcast, they go off. So
fair enough.
That's going to do that. Let's talk pitchers here. If you had to pick one pitcher not named Bumgarner, Fernandez, DeGrom, Iacuma, I'm throwing him in there because I feel like he's going to win too. To pick up a win, doesn't have to score the most fantasy points, but is going to win. Who would you have here?
You left me Salazar. That seems like a layup.
Yeah, if you think it's a layup.
I think he grabs the win. Cleveland's going to put up five runs in the first five innings or so, and he'll leave the game, five or six fairly strong, give up two runs, and grab the W. So there you go, Salazar.
If Archie Bradley can go five innings, he's going to win.
Yeah, that's if in capital letters.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, like I'm going to have exposure to Archie Bradley on the slate, and if he can go five innings, he should get enough run support to win this game.
Ronaldo Lopez is not a crazy cheapie, and neither Musgrove, I think maybe not tonight, but maybe going forward if this price stays the same. Lopez, maybe it's B2.
The more I think about Musgrove, though, like the more I'm interested in tournaments, because why not Baltimore? They strike out a ton.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like you can argue both sides of that. You can say, well, Baltimore's just going to hammer them. I wouldn't argue with it. I don't know. I'm not going to talk you out of either side. But right. I suppose he's in play, too.
If people want coaching, where can they find you, Dean?
Yeah, hit me up on the old Twitter machine, at here. It's at @DFS_Almanac. Or you hit me up on the Roto Grinders, my Dean7904. If you want to get all technical on me, that is the handle. Send me a message.
That's going to wrap it up here for the Thursday edition of the podcast. We'll be back on Friday with the Siege filling in and doing his normal Friday podcast with me. Dean, I always appreciate you jumping on, talking some cash games, talking chalk, and that's going to do it. So good luck in your contest tonight, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
Holler.